prepare for battle because America is worth fighting for. This is Conscience of a Black Conservative, bare-knuckled, no-holds-barred, and unapologetic. Here's your host, Keith Lee.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for joining us on a brand new episode of Conscience of a Black Conservative. Before we get started, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, and if you like what you're hearing, please be sure to like and subscribe. Your feedback is greatly appreciated, and quite frankly, we are blown away by the response that we've received so far. Our subscribers have literally doubled in the last couple of days, and that is amazing to me. You could also find us on Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your finer podcasts. If you want more information, you can reach us at www.thekeithleeshow.com. That's www.thekeithleeshow.com. We're also on Twitter at The Real Keith Lee and on Parler at The Real Keith Lee. So today we start our show with a bit of somber news. We learned of the death of Herman Cain today from the coronavirus. And for me, it's a bit personal, his passing. Although I didn't have the opportunity to meet him, he was very influential in finding my way to conservatism. Because for me, when I was younger, I'm 34. I can't believe I'm 34. Jesus Christ. The years go by really fast. I'm 34. And when I started to discover the roots of my conservative beliefs, I was around 17 years old. So up until that point, I knew that I had different opinions from the traditional kind of inner city kid, you know, the things that you're taught when you're growing up. But it was still a struggle for me because even if you are reading about the history of the parties and even if you are learning about the principles of being a Republican, of being a conservative Republican, specifically limited government, free market capitalism, allowing, the equal opportunity for everyone, and so on and so forth, it's still very difficult for somebody like me who essentially is indoctrinated from the time they're born into the sort of narrative that's promoted by the left and the narrative that is accepted wholeheartedly by most blacks. So when I was around 17 and 18 years old, it was very important for me to find other black conservatives because if they were able to look at this same information and still were able to break away from the orthodoxy that's traditional in black communities, that was very powerful for me. There were a few people that I can think of right off the top of my head that really helped with my development. Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, Larry Elder, and Herman Cain. And what made Herman Cain so interesting, Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams, I mean, these are academics. I mean, and these are some of the most brilliant minds, and they did a tremendous job. Wonderful writers, great economists, and we all know their backgrounds. But Herman Cain was somebody that had success in the corporate world, in the world where we're told that as blacks, we're not supposed to have any amount of success. And here was a guy who grew up in the South during Jim Crow, but was still able to build a life for himself, and the sort of leadership legacy that he left behind is truly amazing. And the sad part is, even though we hear about his name today because he passed away, many blacks, many African Americans, blacks, whatever you want to call them, really don't have a clue about this great man. They don't understand the struggles he went through to get to where he was, where he ultimately ended up. And I think we should spend a few minutes today really kind of honoring that point. So here's some information about this great man. So he's raised in Georgia. Herman adopted the lessons of his parents, dedicated to hard work and the importance of faith, and carried them with him to the pinnacle of the corporate world. Herman earned a degree in mathematics from Morehouse College in 1967, and later earned a master's degree in computer science from Purdue University while working as a mathematician for the Department of the Navy. He then worked as a business analyst for the Coca-Cola Company. In 1977, Herman joined the Pillsbury Company and within 3 years, at the age of 34, rose to the position of Vice President of Corporate Systems and Services. Reflecting his father's drive to seek greater challenges, Herman then set his sights on a corporate presidency. With that goal ahead of him and his mother's faith to support him, Herman resigned his senior position and started on another career path, the restaurant industry. He started from the ground up by making hamburgers at Pillsbury's Burger King division. 9 months later, he was managing 400 Burger King locations throughout the Philadelphia region, the country's poorest performer. Within 3 years, his region had earned the reputation for excellence and was the company's best out of the entire country. In 1986, Pillsbury appointed Herman to the presidency of the then financially troubled Godfather's Pizza, which was headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska. In 14 short months under his leadership, the chain regained profitability. In 1988, he led his executive team in a buyout of the company from Pillsbury. Also in 1988, Herman was elected to the board of directors of the National Restaurant Association, and in 1994, he served as chairman of the board of directors. While leading this association, he developed the organization into a pro-business voice via national debates and speeches concerning healthcare reform, employment policies, and taxation. Following this experience, he was appointed to serve on the Economic Growth and Tax Reform Commission, in addition to serving as chairman and member of the board of directors for the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. He then became a senior advisor to the 1996 Dole Kemp campaign for the presidency. Herman continued in his responsibilities as president and chairman of Godfather's Pizza while beginning a second career delivering national keynote speeches. Using his messages as the foundation, he created his own leadership consulting company called The New Voice, which packages his speaking and develops materials. He also has written several books. In 1996, Herman became CEO and president of the National Restaurant Association, thus becoming the only volunteer chairman to also become the organization's full-time CEO and president while a member on the board. After seeking the presidency in 2011, Herman formed Kane Solutions Revolution, which worked with political and business leaders at the national level to promote problem-solving policy ideas. And in 2012, he was tapped by Cox Media Group to succeed Neil Bortz as host of the latter's popular syndicated radio show. Herman is survived by his wife, Gloria, and children, Melanie and Vincent, as well as grandchildren. He was 74 years old. See, that's an amazing legacy. It's a legacy that isn't really taught to many of the blacks, many of the black kids in this country. A lot of people are told we should look up to folks like Jay-Z, or a lot of rappers and sports stars, LeBron James and everything else, but you never really hear about the folks who had real success in the corporate world, in the world that's surrounded by people who don't look like us, when we're told by those on the left that we shouldn't have the sort of success that Herman Cain had. But you never really heard Herman Cain's story because Herman Cain was a black conservative. And black conservatives are marginalized in a way that is truly shocking. There are so many people who don't know the names of Tom Sowell and Walter Williams. And whenever they've heard the name Herman Cain, it was made to be some sort of a joke. He's a pizza guy. What does he know about running the presidency? What does he know about running this country? The left never wants to promote people like Herman Cain because Herman Cain is an exact slap in the face to the narrative that is promoted on black people all across America. And as I said, for me personally, around that 17 to 18 year old area of my life, trying to find my way in this world, trying to find my way through this sort of conservative principles and ideas that, you know, I was sort of waking up to, it was very important to see this man. Because for me, I love business history. You know, I can tell you, I wasn't around in the 80s, but I know all about everything that happened in the 80s and the merger booms and takeovers and some of the crazy names that existed during that time. And so for Herman Cain, for me to see a guy to rise to the highest levels in the corporate world was truly astonishing. And it really opened up a window in my own mind to what was possible if only I gave up the mindset, the perspectives, the poison, essentially, that's driven into our heads as inner-city black kids all over the country. And it's really a shame, because this is a man that should be celebrated. And he's only going to be celebrated in conservative circles. You're not going to find any glaring white or any glorifying write-ups in the media, because, again, it slaps the whole notion that a black person can succeed in the highest levels of the corporate world in this country. And this guy was an advisor to the president today, a great friend of the Trump family, has advised so many of our great leaders all over the country in Congress and in the Senate. This is really a legacy that will last for many generations to come. So, rest in peace, Herman Cain. Sleep easy, and we are praying for his wife and children, and thank you. Now we have to talk about Obama. Because although we got the news of the unfortunate passing of Herman Cain, today was the funeral for John Lewis. John Lewis. You know, this might be somewhat controversial, what I'm getting ready to say. Because, you know, I get that we like to make heroes of people who really don't deserve that designation. Because I don't think so. You know, the fact is, we know all the great things that John Lewis did with Martin Luther King on the bridge in Selma. We all know about that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great screenshot, right? And he used that legacy of working with Dr. King to win his seat in Congress. You know, but two things could be right at the same time. He could have been a hero during the Civil Rights Movement, but a complete hack in his political life. And that's exactly what John Lewis, or who John Lewis was. John Lewis was a man that was trying to impeach this president with the faulty nonsense that was going on with Adam Schiff's hearings. John Lewis was a man who has promoted the most ridiculous Democrat policies that have done nothing but destroy the black family. So we could talk about his history in the Civil Rights Movement, but everything he's done since then has been a disaster for black people. A complete and utter disaster for black people. When you have a man who has continued over the years to fan the flames of racism, when he knows it wasn't true, that to me is evil. So it's so fitting today at his funeral that the most divisive president of our time gave this ridiculous eulogy today. If you want to give a eulogy, give a eulogy. You know, it's a lot better. No, seriously, because at the end of the day, Obama couldn't control himself. He had to use this somber moment of reflection to dump on the president. You know, the Democrats never let up. You can never let a tragedy go to waste. Every time we've had these funerals, it's been an opportunity to dump on the president. When the president has done nothing but try to protect this country, when the president has done nothing but try to make things better for blacks as a whole, as you will remember, before coronavirus, the black employment rate was at record levels. Incomes at record levels. This is a man that's done more for black people than easily any president in our generation. But we have the first black president, the most divisive person, the person who has fanned the flames of racism from the time he got into office until now. You could easily blame Obama for why we're dealing with a lot of the crap we're dealing with right now. Hands up, don't shoot, which didn't happen. If I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. This was the guy who everybody believed was going to be that great uniter, but he was not. This guy completely tore a hole through this country, and we have not been able to repair it since then. So now listen to Obama today at John Lewis's funeral. Truly disgusting.
He knew from his own life that progress is fragile, that we have to be vigilant against the darker currents of this country's history, of our own history, with their whirlpools of violence and hatred and despair that can always rise again. Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks.
Just that alone. I think, again, we were all sickened by what we saw with George Floyd. But do you notice how the left, instead of just saying, well, this is a bad cop. No, all cops are bad. All cops are pigs. All cops are bastards. That's what we're seeing all over our cities all across America. I can't think of one mainstream Republican that would say George Floyd deserved to get what he got. I can't think of not one. But yet they continue to politicize a terrible situation to achieve and push this narrative that Trump is somehow worse than Bull Connor, who, by the way, was a Democrat.
Of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Yeah. Federal agents against peaceful demonstrators. Now, I've been watching the news. I know you've been watching the news. Where are the peaceful protesters? I don't think buildings being burned to the ground. I don't think people being assaulted and killed. I don't think pipe bombs being thrown at cops and mortars being shot at cops. I don't think that's peaceful. But yet here we have the divider in chief, Obama, say that the federal troops were brought in to stop these peaceful protesters when we're not seeing this. Don't believe your lying eyes.
We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws.
And see, when you have all these white morons that voted for this loser, oh, Obama's going to bring us together. This is the same rhetoric that got us to where we are today. It's the same notion that blacks are just too stupid to get IDs to go vote. We need IDs to hop on a plane. We need IDs to go into a club. We need IDs to do almost anything in life. But to vote, which is the most sacred right that we have, it's racist to ask for ID. We have 30, 40 million illegal immigrants walking around. And the Democrats want to make them legal. They want them to become citizens. I wonder why. So if anybody can walk into a polling place and say, hey, yes, I'm Mike Jones. Now, this guy will look like a freaking Jones. But they want him to be able to vote because, yes, blacks are too stupid, too idiotic, too mentally deficient to be able to get an ID.
And attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be a funeral, by the way, right? To mourn the loss of the great civil rights leader. This whole notion that the president is trying to cheat in this election. You know, it's very interesting to me how leading up to 2016, everybody was asking, oh, you're losing in the polls horribly to Hillary Clinton. You're down by 9 points, 10 points, 12 points. Are you going to accept the results of the election? But here we are 4 years later, and these idiots still haven't gotten over the loss. Every single thing that they've thrown at this president, it hasn't worked. And now this idiot Obama gets up there in front of all these people hooting and hollering. Oh, yeah, speak. Speak, Mr. President, speak. Hooting and hollering like that. And he's saying the most divisive crap. We know mail-in voting is rife with problems. Rife with fraud. You see, folks, these people will never let up. I'm serious. They will never let up. Any opportunities they can to beat this president, no matter what they have to do, lie, cheat, and steal, they're going to do it. They'll use the death of John Lewis to promote their garbage. They'll use the death of George Floyd to promote their garbage. They don't give a damn how this country looks. They don't give a damn how many cities have to burn to the ground. As long as they can stop you, that's the only thing they care about. They don't care about anything else. Let me tell you something. Even when we were dealing with Al-Qaeda and ISIS, No. That they weren't really the problem. You were the problem. Because ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they're 6,000, 7,000 miles away. You're right here in this country. You are the only people that can stop them right in their tracks. So now you gotta go to the blacks. Oh, go to the blacks. Oh, don't you know Trump is as bad as Bull Connor, who was a Democrat? Trump is as bad as George Wallace, who was a Democrat? Don't you know it's the same thing as 1964? Yeah, preach it. This is the BS that they are willing to do to keep their power.
that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick.
Wait a minute. But why would they get sick if all the masks work so well, right? Wear a mask. Oh, your boy Dr. Fauci today. Oh, now don't just wear masks. Put on goggles. Put on a freaking face shield. That's how we're going to stop the coronavirus. All right, so listen, load them up. Load them up. Voting is very important. And if people think they're going to get sick because, hey, if we stand 6 feet apart with masks and face shields on, then, hey, then you know what? Stay your ass at home. What does this have to do with the death of John Lewis? And how is anything Obama is saying going to bring us together? Because the fact is, these people don't want us to come together. They want to defeat you.
Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life.
Preach.
There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things.
Preach. Preach, President. Preach.
That's why I'm talking about it.
This guy's a fraud.
John Lewis devoted his time on this earth fighting the very attacks on democracy and what's best in America that we're seeing circulate right now.
Circulate right now. I like how, you know, here's a guy, right? Barely spent any time in this country. He was in Indonesia and in Hawaii. Then now he goes to a black church, and here comes a southern accent. Oh, John Lewis right here. We go out of his life right now. Oh, hell, open here in church. We go stop that evil orange man, Donald Trump. These people are phonies, folks. These people are phonies. These are not Americans. These are not people who want to live in harmony with us. These are not people who want to find any type of common ground. Stop giving these people the benefit of the doubt. These are evil freaking people. If it was just about winning in the arena of ideas, okay, fine. Here's an issue. Here's what we believe. Here's what you believe. That's compromise. And let's do what's best for the American people. That's not what they want. That's not what they want. They want complete and utter domination. If that means you got to use the death of a former civil rights leader, go ahead. If that means you have to use the death of somebody who unfortunately died at the hands of a cop, go right ahead. If that means that your house needs to be burned to the ground, go right ahead. If that means that the people, that the mob has to come to your house with pitchforks demanding that you fork over money, hey, go right ahead. They don't want you to do anything. They want you to be completely demoralized. And they're willing to stir up racial strife, which is what we're seeing all across this country. Because they're hoping that you are afraid. Too afraid to say anything. You're afraid to go out of your house because you're going to die of coronavirus. You're afraid to express your opinions because, God forbid, you say, you know what? I don't see color. I want people to judge me and my kids by the content of our character. Oh, that's racist. Up is down, left is right. This is who these people are. It's not a game. These people are truly sick. This Trump derangement syndrome, folks, I'm telling you, this is going to be our country's downfall if we don't stop these people. This is an all-out assault on our way of life. Don't ever forget that. Because it's not just Obama. It's all of them. It's Chuck Schumer. It's Pelosi. It's AOC. It's Fat Nadler. All these people are going to do whatever it takes to beat that orange bad man. And if that means that your life has to suffer, and if potentially that means your life has to end, then so be it. That's it for another episode of Contents of a Black Conservative. If you like what you've heard, please be sure to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We love you guys. We thank you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Conscience of a Black Conservative. Don't forget to like, subscribe, or comment wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out on Twitter @TheRealKeithLee or on Instagram @TheKeithLee.